I want to turn your attention, please, to this wonderful passage of Scripture, our emphasis being on the first four verses of the psalm, where he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Put a new song in my mouth, even praise to my God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud as such as turn aside to lies. Now this psalm, beloved, is a psalm that primarily speaks about the Messiah. It's one of those messianic psalms. You can prove that very simply, because in the book of Hebrews and the chapter 10 and verses 5 to 9, we read these words, and they're important words to read. Here's what it says. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Into verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, O Lord. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. These are basically the repeat of the words in Psalm 40. So although the psalm primarily has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, these four verses at the start of the psalm in particular can certainly be applied to each one of us. There is in this passage of Scripture some wonderful truths that you should examine and consider. Put yourself in these first four verses. Read them as if you were reading your own biography, your spiritual pilgrimage. Christian, every believer here knows what it was like to be delivered from darkness and from sin as we waited on the Lord. He has brought us out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He did set our feet upon a rock, and that rock, of course, was himself. And he did put a new song in our mouths, even praise unto our God. Blessed is the man. Isn't it true, brethren and sisters? When you trusted Christ, you were blessed. You were blessed richly. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I want you to follow just for a few moments. By the very nature of these meetings, they won't be as long as usual. But there are lessons to be learned. There are things that God would show us from these verses. I want you to think, first of all, of the behavior of the psalmist. He opens the psalm by saying, I waited. I don't know whether most of you are like me, but I don't have a lot of patience. I like to be on the go in time. I don't like getting into meetings late. I remember some years ago, and it happened very often when I was a younger preacher, I went to the church, a church in the Irish Republic, to preach. And I was there before even anyone had come, before the caretaker had arrived. I had to wait for him, and I wasn't patiently waiting. But it was the Lord's day, and I couldn't express how I felt. So I don't like to be late. Patience is a thing I have a problem with. But I have to say this. As the years have gone by, I have learned something of patience. Of course, whenever you get married and you make a plan to get out some evening with your wife, you'll have to learn patience. I have never known my wife to be early for a meeting in 45 years. More, in fact. It's just the way it is. You have to be patient. If you weren't patient, you'd have rows every time. And you don't want that. But patience, someone said, is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Do you possess it? It's found in a woman, but never in a man. Of course, that's not one of the proverbs of the Bible, so you don't have to pay too much attention to it. But isn't it true? You need to wait. Since the outbreak of this pandemic, I want to tell you this on a personal note. I was saved nearly 54 years ago. And it's only since this lockdown that my prayer life has improved. I now rise, I always did rise early, but I rise earlier now than I've ever done in the morning, Sunday and all, to have my private devotions. And the first hour or so, more, of every morning, I just try to wait before God. One of my grandchildren was amazed that Granda could pray for more than 15 minutes. She said to me, "What did you say? What do you say? How can you talk so long?" Now, the fact that that young person could talk for hours to a boyfriend, it make no difference, but for a man to talk to God for all that time, for an hour, for more, it cannot be. So the pandemic, in my experience, much as I despise what has happened, it has helped me to be patient. That now in the morning time, I can wait with some more patience on the Lord. You see, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he waited patiently on the Father during the whole of his earthly life. That's why he was able to submit to God so readily when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember when he prayed that the Lord would remove the cup from him? Now, I'm not going to prove this or try to prove this point just this morning, but I don't believe that that cup had anything to do with the cross. I don't believe he was praying that God would take the cup of Calvary from him, because that was his whole purpose from all eternity in coming. He didn't come to die on the cross and then at the last minute to turn from it. Oh no. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He determined to die for us. Such was his love. But there are other reasons why that prayer was prayed and what it meant. We not go into them this morning, but I can assure you there are reasons why I say these things. Not everyone agrees, of course. Some of the great theologians agree, some don't. But this is what I believe. But because the Lord patiently waited on the Father the whole of his earthly ministry, he was able then to yield himself willingly to Calvary's cross. Tell me, have you learned the secret of patient waiting on God that enables you to submit to him? You see, even in all his sufferings, he waited on his Father. And if you would know real patience, you don't need to look to Job as he sat on the dunghill there in his agony. You've only got to look to Christ on the cross, who patiently endured it all for you and for me. I waited on the Lord, my God. He waited, this psalmist, patiently. And then he waited prayerfully. He says in the verse, "He heard my cry." Folks, don't you know and realize that the Lord hears your prayer? It's no wasted effort to seek God, you know. You're not doing something wrong when you pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there has the meaning of caving in, quitting, giving up. No, the psalmist here, and if you've put yourself, Christian, in this position, you'll know about this. You waited prayerfully. Isn't that how you were saved today? You prayed. You called on God and patiently waited for him. Oh, there's prayer here and there's sincerity here. The verse tells us that God inclines his ear. Imagine that. Imagine God inclining his ear to you and me. To hear. He delights to hear you pray. Indeed, you're exhorted in Scripture to pray first of all, before anything else. That's how important prayer is. And the Lord hears us. Here's the lesson, beloved. Don't give up. Are you praying for a loved one today? Have you been praying for them for years? Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep waiting patiently. Keep trusting. And remember this, that he has said, when they call, I will answer. In God's appointed time, he will answer prayer for you and for me. But we have to learn the secret of patiently waiting upon him. I waited for the Lord my God. And patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline his voice, my voice, and cry to hear. Here's the lesson, beloved. Don't give up. Pray on and pray through, and he will hear you. Not only do you have the behavior of the psalmist, but you have the bringing of the psalmist. Verse 2 records the words, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and established my goings. That pit, you maybe just read that casually and bypass it. But you need to remember what that pit is and what it was. In the rock above, there was just a round hole. That's all you could have seen. And then it was blocked by a huge stone. And you're underground. And there's no air. And there's no light. It would be hard to be patient then, wouldn't it? You would want out of there as quickly as you possibly could go. The whole scene, my friend, is a scene of desolation. Can you imagine how frightening that would be? Scripture speaks of the blackness of darkness forever. Will you imagine that black darkness in a pit? It's not a modern prison we're talking about, where you have amenities and rest periods and exercise periods and TV and even can progress academically in prison now. This was a man that was absolutely in darkness. I'm reminded one year of going on holiday in England with the family and going to a very famous series of caves. And we went down into quite a depth down in, brightly lit up. Oh my, it was like noonday. We got away down into the bowels of the ground. The guide said, now I want all of you with young children to take them by the hand and hold them very tightly and under no circumstances let them go. And then he switched off the lights. And there was a sudden darkness, the like of which I had never experienced before or since. I put the finger of one of my hands right up to my eyes. I actually touched my glasses and couldn't see my finger. It was really the blackness of darkness. Well, friend, the man, the psalmist, seeking God, was in that situation, in darkness. And you know, beloved, that every sinner born is in darkness. There's no light. There's no hope. There's nothing but darkness all around. What loneliness there would be there. Without sound, no answer. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remember this, he endured that darkness on our behalf. You see, when God turned from him at Calvary, when light turned away, there was darkness over the earth. Darkness where he cried out, "Why, my God, hast thou forsaken me?" Even the Father forsook him. And the psalmist here, this is how he feels, forsaken. What of you today? Have you been in that position? Christian, you have. For you found the light. You found him who is the source of all light. You found the Savior. You're not lonely now. It's Jesus and me for each tomorrow. Are you lonely? Are you despairing? Are you oftentimes sad? Are you in a pit? Are you in the dark? Let me introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who can bring you out of darkness into light, deliver you from bondage to freedom, if you'll trust him. There was darkness here, desolation and darkness. The psalmist couldn't even see the walls of the pit that he leaned against. There was distress, no way out. Well, does it describe the whole experience as being in a pit? A dear man of God that I knew many years ago got himself into such a state that he felt he no longer wanted to live. What an awful place to be. And he did take his life. Sadly. When they found his Bible notes, they discovered he'd been studying in Psalm 69. And verse 2 says, "I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing." Felt so enveloped by darkness, couldn't see the light. Now that's very sad for a man, any woman who has in their life's history seen the light. The mind is a powerful force, folks. May God help you and me in these days to keep our mind on him. Isaiah writes that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on thee. And stead upon Jehovah, you know, your heart would be fully blessed. No standing. There's not only here this instance, but there's also a new setting. Look what it says. He set my feet upon a rock. Not upon sand. Not upon church sacrament or church works or anything else. But on a rock. We're in the bottom now. You're in the pit now. You're in utter darkness now. you're sinking. The hymn writer said, from sinking sand, he lifted me. And what did he do when he lifted you? He placed you upon a rock, even Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation. You know, when the Lord Jesus said in Matthew, upon this rock I will build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter. Peter's not the rock. Where he said that was a very interesting place. There's a massive rock close by. And that was the reference. You see, Peter wavered, as we know. But the eternal rock doesn't waver. It stands true. And brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He set my feet upon a rock. Not only a new setting, but thank God a new song. What does it say in the book of Hebrews? In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee, Hebrews 2:12. Remember what it says of the disciples, that after supper, they sang a hymn. One of the hardest parts of going back into the church building, it may be that for a short while, we'll not be able to engage in singing as a congregation, apparently. According to the medical people, singing, because of its very nature, can spread this virus very quickly. But you know, I miss the singing, terribly miss the singing. I love singing. I can't sing very well, but I love to sing, and I love to hear singing. But this is a song different from the songs and hymns of men. This is the song of the soul set free. That's a different song. I tell you, we need to sing that song. Tell me this. Have you a song in your heart that Jesus gave to you? The song of the blood of Christ. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you love to sing that song? There's power in the blood. I love what Mr. Spurgeon said one time. He said, sin, death, and hell are drowned in the atoning blood of Jesus. Man, would you be free from your burden of sin as you dwell in the pit, as you wait before God? Would you be free? Well, there's power and there's merit and there's value and there's virtue in the Savior's precious blood. Will you come today and wash your robes? Will you make them white, even in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, there is the behavior of the psalmist, and we've seen that very clearly at the start. Then there's the bringing up of the psalmist. But there's also the blessing of the psalmist. Verse 4 of the Psalm 40 tells us this. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. What does it say in verse 3? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Listen, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, tell me, my friend, do you know anything about this blessing, this wonderful blessing? As a patient waiter upon God, the one that brought you up, the one that blessed you, Can you not clearly place yourself in these verses and see yourself as this psalmist saw himself? Guilty. In the pit. With no help. And remember that. This man had no help. There was nobody coming to rescue him. You remember Jeremiah when he was in the pit, he was rescued. But no human hand could rescue the psalmist. He was in a place where there was no standing. A place where there was nothing but a lost estate. That's where we all are today. And if I could, in human weakness, exhort you, maybe those that are gathered here not saved, I don't know your heart, but I want to tell you, when you learn to get before God, really get before Him, really pray, not to faint. Paul tells us we're to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You live in a continual state of prayer. Paul thought so much of prayer that he said to Timothy, before you do anything, Timothy, you need to pray. Before you preach, before you contend, before you fight as a soldier, you need to pray. Oh, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. He brought me from the miry clay. He put my feet on that solid rock. That's where I am today, and I know many of you are. But friend, if you're not, I trust you'll come. Wait for Him. Seek Him, and He'll bring you up.